Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good morning, America and Rochester. This is the,
17th.
Oh, man, I lost track of the dates of September. And, yes, you are listening to Soundbites. I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Dennis Worcester.
And, unfortunately, Mr. Nick Francesco is home. He didn't have his antivirus up to date. So, he's got the flu. He's not feeling too good. But one thing before that.
He didn't.
Yes, it's our own Mr. Steve Ray's birthday coming up tomorrow, or Monday.
Monday, and our own Dave Enright's birthday coming up Tuesday.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. We're a September month around here.
I guess yep. So.
Yeah, Nick was last Saturday, and then Steve, then me, and oh, heck, for me, I've got a couple other friends. My friend Donna, it was her birthday Friday. My wife used to be was on the 18th. My granddaughter is the 15th.
My stepdaughter's was the 16th, and my sister-in-law's is the 16th.
Incredible.
Because it's January's a very cold month.
Yes, right. I was trying to work the math.
But wait a minute.
Something about New Year's.
But here's the thing, though.
Martin Luther King Day, I don't
know. It's Christmas break at school, yeah.
All right, but you talk about birthday gifts. I got hosed on my first birthday. Because for my first birthday, I got a sister.
Yeah, I saw that coming.
And my parents sit there and they're like, look what we brought home. They go, can you return it? Yeah. I want a truck. They wouldn't.
My brother and I asked our parents for a sister. And then when we got one, after a couple of months, we asked them to take her back. I guess we didn't need this after all.
As you folks know, I come from a large family. I'm one of six. My dad's one of 19. So,
wow.
I mean, I've got four sisters.
19. You could have a show now if you had 19.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. My dad, my dad's one of seven still surviving.
Incredible.
Yeah.
And my mom was one of nine. It's you know, the olden days when you had as many kids as you could to work the farm.
Yeah. Well, like I say, my dad's one of 19. Now, my grandfather's brother, the other side of the Enright, comes from a large family, too. I believe they had around, I think, only 14. They were slackers. But, you know, what are you going to do?
Yep. Hmm.
Otherwise.
So what's going on today, guys?
Yeah, you got some news there?
Yeah, we have some interesting news coming out of Verizon. They've unveiled their first unlimited prepaid plan for $50. Verizon Wireless is launching its first prepaid unlimited phone plan this coming Thursday with unlimited voice calls, unlimited text messaging, and unlimited web access for $50 a month. Verizon Wireless has offered prepaid plans before, since its inception in 2000, but the previous plans offered only services a la carte. Voice calling was $1.99 a day, web was 99 cents a day, and text messaging was $20 a month. But this prepaid market has long been a stronghold of regional carriers and smaller companies like MetroPCS, which offer unlimited prepaid plans. Sprint has their own prepaid plans through Virgin Mobile and Boost. We also have Cricket is one of the companies in town as well. Verizon is hoping to capture a larger a part of that customer base. We want to. I got to do a voice now. I can't do voices. Nick.
Yeah.
We want to allow. No, wait. This is Brenda. We want to allow customers who have more of a prepaid lifestyle to join the network.
What are you sitting at?
Said Brenda Rainey, a company spokes individual. It's a cash-and-carry relationship with Verizon Wireless. Verizon's hottest smartphones, including the iPhone and the Droid line, aren't part of the prepaid offering.
Yeah, I was waiting for that.
Yeah. Well, mostly because those phones are $500 without contract.
Hmm. Well, what if you bring your own phone to?
Well, new customers can put the prepaid plan on one of four phones, the LG Revere, the LG Cosmos, the Pantech Caper, and the Samsung Gusto. Most phones you've never heard of because they're pretty dull. More phones will be added in the coming months, Rainey said. These so-called feature phones can access the web, but they don't have the full capability of a smartphone. Verizon is offering phones at prices ranging from $40 to $100 for the handset. So unlike a postpaid plan, which most people have, there's no contract and you have to pay for your phone. Customers who already own phones that work on Verizon's other prepaid plans can now use them on this $50 plan, which is, opens it up to about 30 phones total. The phones for the $50 unlimited prepaid plan will be available at Target, Best Buy, Radio Shack, Walmart, in addition to Verizon's own stores. Rainey declined to say how many Verizon customers are currently on prepaid plans. Verizon moved 2 months ago to end unlimited data for its postpaid phones that carry monthly contracts. It's the cheapest monthly plan for smartphones, which offers 450 voice minutes and 2 gigabytes of data, is $70. So I'm wondering how many people are going to drop their postpaid contracts and get this $50 unlimited plan.
Sell their phone, buy one of the lesser capable phones, and then save, what, $20 a month?
So that goes along with our poll of the week, which is Verizon's unlimited data plan. Choices are, it excites me, I'll look into it, and if I can't put it on a smartphone, what's the point? And let me bring up my little window here, and we'll see how many people have already voted in the poll.
I tend to be the third one myself. I predict that's going to be the most popular.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
So far we have had 29 votes. 59% are saying, if I can't put it on a smartphone, what's the point? 34%, I'll look into it. And 7%, only 2 votes, are excited by it. Once you're done taking the poll, you can click the link in yellow at the bottom and give your opinion at another fabulous website. The smartphone is such a big deal these days that so many people are buying smartphones.
So if you've got unlimited on one of these, I don't want to call them dumb phones. That just sounds derogatory.
Yeah.
What do you call them? Feature phones, right?
You're right. It's a feature phone.
So if you've got a feature phone, but you've got unlimited texting, unlimited calling, and unlimited bandwidth, other than the calling and the texting, how much bandwidth can you really use on a feature phone?
Well, that's the big question, is what does unlimited really mean?
And what do you use it for?
And on a feature phone, you generally have a really tiny screen, and so maybe you're looking up movie times. You know, I've done that. Right. I'm you know, what's playing at the movie now? Stock quotes. Yeah, you're not
scores,
you're not trying to load full websites. You remember that thing that used to be called mobile web?
Yeah.
In the olden days, you'd have to create a special separate website for mobile phones because their screens were so small. And that's one of the advantages of the smartphones, is that they have a much bigger screen and can do mobile web a lot better. It's going to be interesting to see what happens and how much people what we've seen, it's sort of the lower income class that will buy the cheap feature phones on the prepaid plans. And people that don't need much phone. I got my wife a phone, a prepaid phone from one of the companies.
Sure.
And I pay $20 every 6 or 7 weeks because she barely makes any phone calls,
right.
Doesn't do much texting.
It's more for just convenience, but thoughtful convenience.
And a lot of times, it's, you know, the kids these days are using it as their only phone. And
right.
We've seen a lot of people who've shut down their landline and are only doing a telephone. A cell phone. I've been arguing with myself to shut down my landline and go with voice over IP.
Right. I remember we were talking about that this week.
Yeah. You can get VoIP phones really cheap, and cut down on that monthly phone bill. But then instead of saving money, I want to add to my cable television subscription and get a second DVR box.
You're just shifting it around.
Yeah.
Well, it's just, you know, optimization more than anything else at that point.
So it's interesting. Give us a call. Tell us, do you have a prepaid phone? Do you have a postpaid phone? Would you get in on this unlimited prepaid plan for $50? And would you like one of these feature phones rather than a smartphone?
It's been a while since I've looked at the feature phones. I wonder if they've gained more features.
They have gained more features. A lot of the feature phones have a full keyboard on them now. They slide out and have an actual keyboard.
Okay,
but generally their screens are a lot smaller. So that they don't have the biggest screens like the smartphones.
Do they tend to have a camera?
Most of them have a camera.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, cameras are pretty common these days. They may only have one camera,
Oh, darn.
So when you flip the phone open, in fact, my wife, she wanted a flip phone with a camera. So that's what I got her for Christmas last year.
Okay.
And she flips it open and takes a picture. You don't have that second phone picture or camera to take a picture of yourself if you're doing video chatting.
Right.
So it's interesting. Now, Dave had his feature phone for a while. You've gone up to a Droid, haven't you, Dave?
Yeah, I got a Droid right now.
So he's got a Droid smartphone. But you had that little feature phone for a while.
Yeah.
And it worked fine. But,
came from the dark side.
As your eyes get older, you like that bigger screen.
Yeah, you can zoom the text there.
Yeah. The big issue with the smartphones is the cost. You know, something like the iPhone, even the Droids, you're looking at $200 to buy the phone.
Right.
And you're committing to a two-year contract with an average price of about $100.
Sure. So you're looking at about $2,500. $2,500 overall for a couple of years worth of being able to get on the internet, do email, do...
Right.
Surfing, do texting and calls.
Or you get a feature phone for as low as $20. That's the phone I found, and it had everything on it for $20. I kept looking, is that really the price? $20?
Yeah, you have to figure out you know what you're comfortable with, and you have to do that long-term math. And that's why this month-to-month business makes so much sense. You know, we're trying to get that ability is very useful.
Yep.
Because then you're not locked in.
Yeah, and that's the biggest thing with these prepaid phones is there's no contract. You don't have to commit to a contract. You don't have to pass a credit check. It's just I give you $50 and I can use the phone for a month.
Right. I hear a lot of people do that type of thing, especially if they go traveling to Europe. They'll go and grab a prepaid card or a prepaid SIM and then put that in their phone. Verizon doesn't use SIMs though, right? So that's why they're saying if you've got an existing phone. It can't just be any iPhone that you happen to get from your cousin or your uncle.
Right.
It has to be
a CDMA phone for the Verizon network.
That knows how to live on their network.
Right. But we're also hearing rumors. Or was it a rumor or was it actually? It's hard to tell the rumors from the actual facts.
Well, yeah, they each get reported the same way these days.
AT&T is also looking at unlimited prepaid options as well. Sprint has been touting their... unlimited postpaid contract phones. The trick sort of there is that it's unlimited 4G, but if you fall back onto 3G, then there's limits.
Right. I remember hearing about that this week on a podcast that I listened to.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So it's interesting to see all the different phone issues that are going on. And what is it? Sprint and Verizon have both filed court papers requesting the judges block the AT&T T-Mobile merger, and a dozen states' attorney generals have gotten together and
all these amicus
submitted
briefs.
Yep.
Yes, friend of the court documents describing, hey, as long as you're thinking about this, here's something else to consider, where they try and pitch their ideas too.
Yeah, so it's interesting to see. What's going to happen, what the fallout's going to be. Well, we joked that if AT&T was buying then T-Mobile, then Verizon should buy Sprint. And we're back to the Monopoly Bell systems.
Right.
I saw an interesting chart from over the last 15, 20 years, all the dozens of phone companies there were, and who bought who, and how many do people remember MCI?
Yeah, I remember.
And remember Nextel, and all these the companies that
Lucent
bought.
Lucent. And...
Yep. Companies that bought each other and turned out, and now we're back down to four major carriers that have bought everybody.
Right.
Back in the old days.
Well, yeah, some things just, you can try to deregulate them, but they just have a habit of re-centralizing all that power and all that control.
Re-regulating. It's unregulated. It means we can do anything we want, including buy up everyone else you broke us up for 20 years ago.
Right, right, yeah. Some industries just don't take well to that kind of thing, I guess.
Yeah. Very crazy. So Dave is in a panic over there.
Yeah, it's kind of amusing to watch.
The Windows computers are crashing.
I don't have to say that too loud. He could not be more busy if his hair was on fire, folks.
and it almost is.
I can see the steam coming out from under his headphones, coming out his ears there.
Shall we move into? We've got a couple of minutes before the break.
It's going to be a fewer.
Oh yeah, we can't do it. We can't do a break. Can't we? Because the computer's
stretch,
down.
Stretch.
Yeah, stretch. We only did 6 news stories because it doesn't. We don't have that much to talk about.
We're gonna need some callers, please.
Well, I don't know. Is the telephone computer working? But Dave's kind of busy to answer it.
Dave's
too.
On top of it. I'm confident.
Yeah.
So what else is going on?
What else is going on? Microsoft is in the news. They're going to launch an Xbox TV later this year.
Oh, really?
Microsoft is trying to succeed where Google, Apple, and Sony have all failed. Software giant wants to change the way people watch their television. Microsoft financial analyst meeting in Anaheim, California, CEO Steve Ballmer previewed the new Xbox TV platform that will launch for the holiday season, which should be any day now.
Yeah.
The demonstration was short on details, as
shocker.
Typical, like content partners and pricing and what movies and shows will be available. But Ballmer said Microsoft will be working alongside dozens or hundreds of additional. Now, is it dozens or hundreds?
There's a big difference. That's like 8 times the difference,
yeah,
minimum.
Typical Steve Ballmer there, to grow their choices. In addition to video on demand, that Xbox content will include live television. Ballmer said that the live TV offerings will include news, sports, and favorite channels. It's not clear exactly how that will work. But Ballmer hinted that it will be similar to what Microsoft has already done with foreign partners like Sky TV in the UK, Canal Plus in France, and Foxtel in Australia. These partnerships allow Xbox customers to stream a limited set of channels right through their Xbox without requiring any additional equipment like cables, satellite dishes, or set-top boxes. Since a lot of people have their Xbox already connected to their television,
right.
That's kind of a neat thing.
It seems pretty obvious you would connect your Xbox to your television.
Yeah.
It's one of the best ways to use it, I think.
Yep. Microsoft believes the key differentiator between the Xbox as a TV platform and the failed competitors like Google TV. I don't know if I'd include Apple TV as a failed competitor. That's pretty big in the Apple market, at least.
Okay, yeah.
But it isn't really television. It's video.
No, it's more
Google,
of a converter that converts the streamed content from the internet and puts it on your TV.
On your TV,
And then also lets you connect your Macs to your...
So this is kind of going in the way of putting your computer on the television. So on your and putting television on your game console. So Microsoft believes the key differentiator between Xbox as a TV platform and the other competitors will be its voice and motion search tool. Utilizing the Kinect attachment, users will be able to navigate through context with voice commands.
Right.
Search commands will be powered by Bing. Quoting now, having all of that content is right on. It's fantastic. It brings a new challenge, Steve Ballmer said. It's right on. It's fantastic.
Is he from the 70s?
He's from the 70s, yeah. Certainly, we've known the frustrations of using guides and menus and controllers, and we think a better way to do it all is bring Bing and voice to your Xbox. You say it, Xbox finds it. In the demonstration, a Microsoft employee announced, Xbox, Bing, The Office. And the television immediately displayed all the available seasons of NBC's The Office for on-demand viewing. Another voice search, in theory, could allow users to navigate to a particular season or episode, but that demo failed.
In theory.
It's a good thing that's shipping for Christmas, Ballmer quipped, to laughter from the audience. Xbox hopes to integrate its community of 35 million Xbox Live users to create a social experience around watching TV and movies. Would you buy an Xbox to watch TV? Would you watch TV on your Xbox? Give us a call. The numbers are 585-966-JAZZ. 585-966-5299. Toll free at 1-800-790-0415. And that music tells us that we're getting ready for a break from our sponsors. So we'll be back shortly. And give us a call. Let us know what you think.
It's America's longest running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Jazz 90.1 is supported
at Jazz 90.1.
Oh, you want me to start?
Yeah, okay. I'll let you start.
He just points.
Good afternoon. He points. Yeah.
I'm so used to just pointing.
Welcome back to Soundbites. I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worcester.
And Nick is over in the chat. He homesick.
He's phoning it in.
He got the flu. He got under.
I thought you Linux people didn't get viruses.
You know he's going to get you for that one. He will definitely slap you silly, as he would normally say.
I don't know. Could be trouble.
Could be trouble.
He's sleeping.
All right. Do we want to give those radio, those phone numbers one more time?
Yeah, give us a call if you have a...
He's going to get you.
If you have comments or topics of what we're talking about, the phone numbers are 585-966-JAZZ. That's 585-966-5299. Or toll free at 1-800-790-0415.
Yeah, give me a minute and I'll be in with chatting with you guys. I'm just trying to get some of this stuff caught up.
He's wiping his brow. He's been breathing furiously trying to get everything back up. Steve, we also got the video chat running now, too. Did you want to talk about how people can get to that?
Yeah, on the video stream, we are simulcasting on Ustream, and that's ustream.tv. And let me bring up my actual...
Hello, all Ustream viewers. We'll wave into the camera there.
You can also watch the past shows at Ustream. Ustream.tv. Proxy server here. As soon as I get by here, it's slash... sound-bytes-radio, if I remember right.
Yeah. Okay.
And you can watch along with the Ustream.
Cool.
We have 10 people currently watching.
Right. And the chat room, too?
The FNET chat room I don't think is up because Nick doesn't have his computer running. There is a chat available on the Ustream channel as well.
Great.
I haven't had that chat up because... I'm trying to do too many other things. That's nice with the three of us. We can all separate the tasks we're doing.
We could juggle just a bit.
Juggle just a bit, yeah.
Okay.
We have a caller?
Yeah, we got Dave from Greece.
Cool.
Go ahead, Dave. You had a question there?
Yeah, I do have a question about a laptop. I'm looking for a laptop with a quad processor that won't overheat right out of a box.
You probably won't find one.
Good luck.
The quad processors are all very high power and very high heat. So generally speaking, they run hot. Pretty much any laptop these days runs hot.
Warm at a minimum.
Yeah, how you define overheating is an issue. We've talked in the past about Nick and I have looked at our computer's temperatures. I'm just running a dual processor machine right now, and my CPU is 158 degrees. The enclosure is 83 degrees. Well, that's a little cooler than it usually is.
Right.
So, generally computers are running hot these days, and to get a quad-core machine, you're probably going to end up with a higher heat level. We've joked that you can't run them on your laptop anymore because you can't call them a laptop because you can't put them on your lap. They're just
right.
too hot.
Yeah, well, so Apple has been calling their stuff portables
or
for
notebooks.
Years.
Yeah.
Because they just don't want you to do that.
Do you know of any quad-core machines, Dave, that don't run too hot?
How about if I put an auxiliary cooler on the bottom?
Well, you can get the different devices right now that you can sit on your lap, and they've got a fan unit underneath them. So it's not burning your lap.
And they help.
And they also help draw the heat away from, your lap and everything else, and also keep the machine cool. Because that's the biggest thing. People sit them, they'll curl up, say, in the couch or that, they're trying to get comfortable in that. And they put it on their lap, and if they have a, blanket or something else there or sitting it on an arm, it blocks the fan underneath, and that's causing the overheating.
Yeah, most laptops will have feet on the bottom to lift the bottom of the laptop up to get some air around it. So you put it on your lap, and now there's no airflow.
Well, see what folks get confused about is they see the vents on the side. They think, oh, okay, it's coming out the side. The heat's coming out the side. But, if you've got the under part where it's got to draw the air in blocked, it's going to – you're going to overheat it. Even though the side's clear. It's clear here on the side. No, underneath has to be lifted up a little bit too. Not much.
Do you have a recommendation for what's the best one?
Well, best is so subjective. I just read an interesting article from a PC guy trying to buy something like a MacBook Air but native Windows, which is very, very thin and very, very light. And going to the different PC manufacturers, the categories they have are a little confusing. There's thin and light, or there's powerful, or there's business.
Or family.
And so somebody says, well, I want it thin and light and powerful.
What does Nick have to say?
Nick has here a Sony Vaio F, also the Asus, HP, and Lenovo.
Yeah, some of the big name brands. You can go through the categories on their websites and find The type of processor you're looking for, the size screen you're looking for, and the power you're looking for, and it's
what also he says also MacBook Steve should be knows that
yeah the MacBook Air is really really light and still pretty powerful.
Right. And those then, are quad core now?
They're i5s. Are they?
I was just going to ask. I remember they were i5.
The MacBook
are there
Pros.
Are the Pros i7 yet, or are they still i5?
i5 or i7 at the higher end. So the MacBook Airs are dual core
i5. Dave didn't tell us what his budget is, but.
Yeah, that's the other option.
We can.
A lot of times at the very light ones, in fact, Intel's been talking about their Ultra Notebook line.
Right.
And some of the companies like Sony have, these really thin Ultra Notebooks, and they're $3,000. Or you look at the MacBook Air is $999 for a two and a half pound, really thin i5-based computer. So it's interesting to see what you get across the marketplace. But we always also like to say buy locally. Go to a local store. You can get your hands on them. You can see them. And ask about service plans and warranty and maintenance and see how that works. Because you're going to end up having this computer for years. And you want to be able to develop a relationship with the store you buy it from.
Right.
And not have to worry about shipping it off somewhere.
I'm going to want somebody to wipe away the tears when it doesn't work.
Say again?
Yeah, I'm going to want somebody to wipe away the tears when it doesn't work.
That's right. Yes, somebody to pat you on the shoulder and say, "Don't worry, sir. We'll make sure to get that fixed up for you."
Yep.
Okay. Thanks for helping.
Okay.
Sure. Take it easy.
Bye bye.
Yeah, so it's always tricky. There's so many different options.
Yeah,
we in the Mac world, there's like 7 or 8 different models of notebooks.
And even that's twice as many as it used to be.
Right, that's hard to choose from. You look at one PC vendor, they might have 40 different models, and another PC vendor, 50 different models.
Right.
So it's
tricky.
Yeah, there seems to be almost
no differentiation between them. This one's $20 more. What does that get?
And that's the whole trouble though. Right now, because if you go into most of the stores, they're not pushing the notebooks as much as they're pushing the tablets.
Yeah.
Tablets are more the thing. If the salesperson is in there, he's going to try to talk you into a tablet. Because the tablets are thinner, and you can do this, and you can do that.
And the battery life's a lot better.
And the battery
generally.
Life is a lot longer. What we've been seeing a lot of at our store is people buying a desktop and then an iPad.
Right.
And typically, that's what you would do. You'd get a big, powerful computer to do all your video editing and photo editing
and
of your
storage,
family and
yeah.
storage. And then you'd get a laptop to have something light and small to carry around with you. And now the iPad is really taking that niche away from the notebook. And it is something you can curl up on the couch with because it generates virtually no heat.
No, and a 10-hour battery life?
A 10-hour battery life,
sure.
Yeah, it's amazing. But in general, notebooks have been outselling desktops by about 2-to-1. So more and more people are buying only notebooks because the power has gotten there. We've got quad-core, dual-core processors that used to be only the range of high-end desktops. Now you can get that in your notebook as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't need two computers. You can have a powerful, portable computer.
And the thing of it is like Nick was talking about, too, is now with cloud, the cloud computing is the biggest thing. You can store up there. You can store your pictures. You can store your photos. So you don't have to have all that on that little, iPad.
Mm-hmm.
It's up there. If you need to pull it down, boom, and it's protected because it's backed up.
Right.
So, there's a lot of, features there that you can...
It's like buying a car. There's dozens of car companies and hundreds of car models and dozens of dealers.
Or compact
yeah.
or
well,
economy.
And the other thing, too, though, is...
It costs about as much as a car sometimes.
Well, folks, as far as connecting, there's so many places around that you can go and still get connected to the internet also. So
sure.
Even if you got, coffee shops, a lot of the local car dealers now, while you're sitting there waiting for your car, there is free internet service.
Sure.
It's
cheap for them to offer, and it makes them look great. And
yeah, I mean, more
practical.
And more places are offering it because they just sit there, or Panera Bread. You can go there, have a meal, and eat, or, wherever.
That's
you know,
right.
I mean, there's gas stations, car, you name it around town, you can go and sit and be on the internet for free. So getting that documents and all that other type of stuff really isn't that hard to do.
No. Yeah, what I did, I've got a machine with double monitors back at my office. And then when I'm out and about at clients or elsewhere, I'll have my iPad with me. And if there's something I say, oh, shoot, I need to go get this thing, and it's back on my computer, I use one of the remote services. I use LogMeIn, but there are lots of others.
LogMeIn.
It literally shows me what's on my monitor at home. I can use my finger as my mouse. I can use my Bluetooth keyboard that I bring along with me with the tablet, and I'm up and running. I can do what I need to do, and I don't have to have a third device of a laptop to bring along with me. And that also helps. People don't think about this, but a lot of my clients, I try and dissuade them from getting a laptop and a desktop, because what always ends up happening is the thing that they want to do ends up being on the other machine.
Yep.
Or they'll and then they'll say, oh, I'll just make a copy of it. And then they copy it to their second machine, like over to their laptop, work on it on their laptop. Now they've got two different versions of it. And they sometimes, if they're not paying close attention, they don't remember which version is the most recent version.
Yep.
Then they accidentally copy it back. It replaces it. And somehow, hey, what happened to all that work I did yesterday afternoon? You know, it's suddenly magically missing.
And that's where some of the cloud sync programs like Dropbox and voila.
Yeah. Yep.
Come in very handy because you have one copy of your document. It automatically syncs everywhere so that whatever device you happen to open it up on, it's got the latest version.
Yeah, Dropbox is fantastic. There are a number of clients, text editors and such for the iPad that will talk to Dropbox directly. So it's a great tool. I do recommend Dropbox, no matter what you're using as a computing device.
Mm-hmm.
The one issue we've seen with Dropbox is that your data is encrypted, but they have the key.
Right.
And they've said that if the police give them a subpoena, they'll turn over all your data.
Yeah, figure out if that's important.
Before we get into it, I just want to throw in here, because we haven't done it lately, but you folks, if you got an opinion on some of this that we're talking about, please pick up the phone, give us a call, 966-5299, toll free, 1-800-790-0415, or you can text us. I do have the screen up here. Talk about multitasking. I've got four monitors, three keyboards, and three mice to play with. So, you know, we're geared up here. So you can text us also by calling 585-209-9010. Again, those other numbers are 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. Jump in here. We'll gladly take your calls. Go back to there, folks.
Sorry. Alrighty. We have a mail-in question from Dan in Rochester.
Cool.
I recently purchased a MacBook Pro. Thinks it's great, except the problem he's running into is when they open Safari, the web browser, it always opens the last page they were on. It never opens their homepage they have set. Another issue he's run into is that when he reboots the laptop, it opens the last program he had open for him automatically. That is actually a feature.
This question sounds really familiar. Didn't we have this exact question at our CIDR meeting on
Something
Wednesday?
Something like that, yep. This is actually a feature.
He's following you around to see if you change your answer.
It was if you were at the CIDR meeting.
That's right.
So this is actually a feature in the new Lion operating system that the computer came with.
It's not a bug.
It's a feature. It automatically remembers the last thing you were doing. So when you open a program again, the last thing you were doing is there. And when you boot your computer, it takes you exactly back where you left off last.
Right.
So for new users, this is kind of nice because it picks up where you left off. But for long-time computer users, it's a little annoying because it's so different.
Or if you're rebooting your computer because you're trying to make something go away, something's not behaving, and then
make
you restart it, and it's right there back in your face again, then that's different.
Yeah.
And how many times have we said, you know, reboot your machine if something weird is going wrong?
And now on a Mac with Lion, when you reboot your machine, everything comes back exactly where you left it off.
Could be frustrating.
There's settings that you can do on an individual program basis. When you quit the program, if you hold the Option key down, it quits the program and discards all the windows you have open.
Right. The command changes when you hold that key down.
Right. So the next time you open that program, it goes back to an empty document. Or you can go into your system preferences, and under general, you can turn off the feature of remembering all of the windows that were open when you relaunched the program.
So they sort of took hints from Microsoft and messed around and changed everything, that people were comfortable with things one way, and then Microsoft turns around like, add remove programs. It is now
change the name.
Programs and features.
Yep.
wrong with ad remove programs? And it sounds like Mac is doing the same thing.
They've only been using it for a decade or more.
I can see how this would be an advantage to new users. You know, when you quit the mail program, the next time you launch it, the last email you were working on is still there.
Yeah,
when you quit your word processor, the last document you had open automatically comes back up again.
The new OS for 10.7, very, very helpful if you're a new user or if you're coming from using an iPod Touch or an iPad. If you're someone who's been using a Mac for a while, it's a big challenge.
It's very much like the iOS on your iPad or your iPhone. When you open Safari, it remembered the last page you had open and opens it again. So it's trying to be helpful for you.
But luckily, they've given us the ability to disable that. You know, if that's not something you want, if that's not something you're comfortable with, you can change it to make it go back the way it used to be.
Well, a lot of them are doing that. Microsoft Office, you know, on the new 2010 version.
Yeah.
You've got to turn on a lot of the toolbars in that were there before. Same with Firefox.
Well, that goes...
The newer version of Firefox, you got to turn on, again, the different views, you know, if you had toolbars and all that across the top, because they're trying to make it slimmer and trimmer.
Well, yeah, and that was one of the complaints against Microsoft Word, is that with all those toolbars on, you don't have much space to type anymore. So now in the new versions, the toolbars are off, and we're complaining that the toolbars are off.
You got to hunt around and find them.
Can't please everybody.
For Mac users that are used to the old way of doing things, there is a program called Lion Tweaks that I'm putting on our link list now.
Oh, good. Good idea.
Lion Tweaks will turn off most of the new Lion features and let you go back to the way things were. Alrighty, so that music tells us we're getting ready for another sponsor break. So if you have questions, if you've gotten a new computer and annoyed by the new features in Lion, give us a call. You can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 585-966-5299. Or toll free at 1-800-790-0415. And we'll be right back in just a couple minutes.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Here. Welcome back to Soundbites. I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worster.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, see, I got to keep remembering what Nick does.
Yeah, it's so ingrained. Yep. It sounds right when you say it.
He's sleeping right now. He's sleeping right now. Yeah. Poor guy is under the weather.
Oh, man.
Nothing worse. I mean, it's not even the winter time yet.
It hasn't really changed.
Well, this is the first really cool day we've had.
Yeah.
And it's always annoying because the skirts get shorter and the necklines get higher.
Well, skirts probably get longer.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Sorry. I can't even think.
He's wishing for the reverse.
It's always on his mind. I do a lot of bike riding, and this was the first week.
He's just nodding off. Just interject there.
I had to put on long sleeves and long pants to go bike riding this week for the first time, and that's when I know that the end of the season is definitely coming. So any miles I want to get in, I have to do fast.
Well, you don't put snow tires on your bike?
studded
like chains.
Clink, 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 clink.
Well, like down the road. Any motorcycle rides that we do now, I got to pull out the electric gear.
Yep. Keep your hands warm and your feet warm.
No, it's a vest or a liner, actually, and the gloves, and I can turn it anywhere from zero up to 180 degrees, so the cold weather doesn't bother me. I just plug it into
Got heated jackets. They have a little battery in it to heat them.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, this I just plug right on into the bike and give it. Oh, I tried it out early spring. It was nice because, you know, we're freezing our butts off and was able to crank it up.
Cool.
But we got a caller on the line right now if you want to take him.
All righty. Go ahead, Frank. Where are you calling from?
Rondacoit.
Hi, Rondacoit. How are you today? What can we do for you?
Very good. Well, I got two problems. I unfortunately got a computer with Windows Vista.
Dun, dun, dun. My sympathies.
Really. And when I put a photo CD in, the pictures, the JPEGs that come up, are tiles.
Okay,
and
that's
too small to see. I want to change it so that some large icons or
If you go up into the top there, under view,
right,
and usually they've got list, detail, thumbnail, large icon, small icon.
Right, but I got to do it every time.
Now, there's a way, Steve, there's a way to save it.
Is there a way? Well, yeah, so you set it once and hit F5, and that should save that setting for all new windows. But it may only set it for that one window, wouldn't it?
No, you can have it so that it'll, well, depends on the layer that you want it to go. But yeah, you can have it do it that, remember it, because I like mine always detailed. So I forget how I did it, and Vista, forget it. I didn't even bother with that operating
finding
system.
Finding blog entries.
Right, Steve's furiously searching.
Yeah, asking the same thing. How do I get it to save my my settings when I change? Go into folder options and then view. So that was step three. Then what? Reset folders. Ah, okay. Reset your folder. So
okay, let's start at the beginning.
Right. So what could be happening is the previous setting has gotten stuck and it won't change and it won't let you save your new setting.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go into folder options, which is usually
it's in the
on
control panel, right?
Control panel. Yeah, control panel in classic view.
Mm-hmm.
I usually find it in tools in a window. Go folder options, and then the view tab and the reset folders button. It will reset the folders to default, and then you can change them back again as you want to.
Nick's got here, folders, options, view, save these settings for all folders.
It does say save for all folders?
Yes.
Yeah. So you're changing the default for all new folders.
Thank you, Nick.
But is that the folders or is that the individual pictures?
It's the view of that folder. So you want to change the view on that folder to thumbnails, for example, so you get bigger pictures.
Uh-huh. Right.
And then you want to save that setting for the folders.
Can you scale the thumbnails in Windows Vista the way you can on the Mac?
I don't believe so.
It's just static?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
There's also a mode called Film Strip where you get little thumbnails at the bottom of the window
right.
in a strip, and then when you click on a thumbnail, you get a big picture, a preview of that picture at the top of the window.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's called Film Strip.
But it's all through the control panel I got to go through.
It's probably in the control panel somewhere, but the way I always have gone to it is when you open a window, there's a Tools menu.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a view command or view options or folder options, something like that. And it will get you into that folder options setting.
Okay, I'll give that a shot.
Alrighty.
Okay, my other question is, when I turn on my laptop, a program, it comes up program registration. And then when I click, I don't want to register it, it says... click here if you don't want this message to come back on.
Mm-hmm.
So I click it, but it still comes on every time I turn the computer on.
Is there a little checkbox that you can uncheck to say show this?
I did that. I hit the uncheck box, you know, so that it says click here if you don't want this message
mm-hmm.
to
right.
come on.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I do that, but it doesn't help.
And it
still
ignores
comes up
you.
The next time I turn the
which,
computer
there's
on.
Which app is he talking about?
That's a registration program.
What registration for what program?
It's the program is called Lotus.
Oh, I bet Lotus is gone, so it probably can't save that.
Yeah, can't save it.
It's been purchased by so many people along the way.
Sure.
What you could do is look in your startup folder and see if that folder is in the startup folder. So even though you're unchecking it in itself, it may not remove itself from the startup folder. Or it may be in the startup registry. If you go, and this is a little tricky, so you have to be careful. If you go into msconfig, you can look through your startup items and turn off that program from launching
to remind
startup.
You.
So you go to the start menu and the run prompt and type msconfig
and go to the startup tab.
And go to the startup tab. Be very careful about what you do in there because it can mess Windows
up.
Yeah,
write down any changes that you make so you can always reverse them. In other words, all you're doing is checking and unchecking program features.
Right,
so
but it's not the same as pin to startup.
No.
Mm-mm, no. No.
There's an actual startup folder where anything you want to start
gets started automatically
when you boot your computer. Like some people put their email program in their startup group, so that when you turn the computer on, the email program automatically starts up and gets your mail for you. So that's a feature of the Mac and Windows where you can have programs automatically launch at startup, and that's that you can control in the MS config. Now the graphical way to get that is if you go to all programs, you may be able to find that startup folder in your all programs list. But sometimes they're not in there; they're buried in the registry, so you have to use the MS config to change that.
How do I get to the MS config?
Go to the Start menu and the Run command and type MS config.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Good
luck.
Helpful.
Thanks.
Thank you.
So right. That's always tricky when you have programs that start up accidentally. On the Mac, you can do that if you right click or if you click and hold
right.
on any icon in the dock. One of the options is to open at login, and in I'm running 10.7 on my computer, so it's under an options command. But in some of the earlier commands, that open at login was the first command in the menu. So if you accidentally held the button down too long,
you could do
when you were clicking
accident.
It, you could
yep.
turn it on by accident. And so we hear a common question is, you know, this program is opening every time I turn the computer on. Why is it doing that? And you accidentally told it to.
Right. You were holding the mouse button and sneezed or something.
Yeah.
All right. Whoever is on the line and I told them to hold, I can hear them moving around in the house.
They set the phone down.
Yeah, they set the phone down. And I can't get you on the phone if you're not there waiting.
Oh, they're probably turning their radio down like all good callers should.
Yep.
No, they're gone.
That's all right. Maybe they'll call back.
Call back.
All right, yeah, you can call back at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free at 1-800-790-0415 on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Or you can also text us on our Google Voice Soundbites text number, which is 585-348-8255. That's 585-FIT-TALK.
One of the things that another email that's floating around that I want to kind of talk to folks about, you know, just because last week was the 9/11 ceremony and everything else with the various celebrating, you know, our soldiers that are defending our country and that. You know, there's a big email going around. They've got different, you know, it's a sergeant or sergeant major on this, and they're saying that they're over, you know, in Iraq or Afghanistan, and they found all this great money, and, you know, they want you to send, you know, your name and contact number and all this other stuff, you know, and, you know, you could be part of it. It's just another one of these
the
ploys,
new,
folks. Yeah,
the new Nigerian.
Yeah, the new, it's
wow.
just another, but they're trying
they're
to.
Doing that with American
Yeah, now they're trying to tug on, you know, the Americans. Oh, well, they're over there, and
that
yeah,
was,
who knows? They, you know, because there's a lot of money, because of the news.
Right.
You know, they saw at the beginning there with Hussein, you know, showing all the different places that he had just money stockpiled, you know, here and there. And, well, we came in part of it. We loaded up a truck of it, and we got it stashed away. And
that was a George Clooney movie.
Yeah, and I mean, you
know, 1999.
Think of it as, folks, and here's the things folks don't take the time to do, is if you were to look at the longest part of that email, the URL,
uh-huh.
and what the URL is, basically, folks, the last, you know, at the it's the last thing at it, and this happened to be .pl.
.pl. Now, which country code is .pl?
PL is Poland.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know too many of our soldiers that say they're in Iraq and are stationed in, oh, Poland.
Or
we don't
routing,
have a base there. That
routing their mail through Poland.
Yeah. You know, no. Sergeant, in this case, it happened to be Sergeant David Thomason. Sorry, sir. You know, just like the rest of the scams and that, you know, the Nigerian stuff and all that. It's
B.S. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
we do have a base in Poland.
Well, yeah,
but now,
and the Polish, you know, don't forget Poland. They
yeah.
they were with us in the Middle East as well.
But I mean, you know, to sit there and think that, you know, that they've got these rooms all over the place, stashed money and everything.
Pallets of money,
yeah.
all shrink wrapped and ready to send back to you,
yeah.
as long as you respond to this anonymous email that you happen to receive
and pay us $10,000
shipping fees,
fees or bribes. That was one of them. You have to bribe the government, local government officials.
Yeah, I mean, and I know, you know, everybody. Well, you know, I'm helping one of our local soldiers. No, it's just another one of the scams,
some
you know, and they're trying
to heartstrings.
Yeah, trying to tug it. You know,
this is the first time I've heard about them using American forces in this. Usually, it's always some king from some African country.
Oh yeah, no, this is the latest because it's around 9/11,
hmm.
and come, you know, we're coming up into the holiday season.
Yep.
You know, then you're going to see these other fake ads and that from UPS and these others saying, you know, well.
And Santa Claus.
Yeah, you know, and all this other stuff.
There's a problem with your package. Give us the tracking number and we'll fix it for you. They'll fix it by stealing your package.
Yeah.
If UPS calls you, they know your tracking number.
Or they'll usually email it to you, and then you can check it that way.
Or if Santa's elves email you as we get closer to Christmas, then you have to wonder if Santa's got piles of money that he's trying to hoard.
Oh, yeah, there's a problem with your layaway account.
Where does Santa get all his money to hand out all these toys? Just give me the money directly.
You don't want to know.
But, yeah, you have to be very wary about these email scams. In fact, what was the RSA, which is one of the huge security companies, they have little security dongles, USB things for high secure installations where you have to really prove who you are. Their entire security database was lost.
Yeah, last spring.
Last spring because of a spear phishing attack.
Right.
What we're talking about is email phishing. They send out all these emails just fishing for someone to fall for it
I got one, just like when you go fishing.
So in a spear phishing attack, they target people. So a bunch of people at RSA were targeted by name and sent this fake email. And the email was something like wages and benefits analysis 2011.
Right.
And someone opened the file on their computer, and it contained a virus and infected their computer and attacked the rest of the RSA network and stole the keys, basically. They stole all of the security keys that RSA uses. So if you have an RSA security token and did not know this had happened, stop using it immediately and get a different one because all the keys have been broken. And it's very, very annoying to get some of these emails, and it's very hard to tell what's a real email and what's a fake email.
You know how I do it? You can tell by the English that they use.
Yeah, a lot of times.
Oh, yes.
That's the number one gigantic red flag.
Big
spinning red light goes off. Hello, good friend. I am writing to you from this country of mine, which is fabulous, and so forth and so on. And you could tell immediately. It's like, well, you know, I don't think they went to school around here. They don't talk like I do.
From some of the emails I get from legitimate people, it's there's spelling mistakes and grammar mistakes. But, yeah, you can usually
tell by
that.
Anything involving money.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Tell you what, folks. We will be back in just a couple of minutes. But before we do go to the break, I want to remind you about one other thing that's coming up very soon. And that is the Hilton Apple Fest. The Hilton Apple Fest is coming up October 1st and 2nd. And there's going to be out there hundreds of crafts, foods, vendors, a classic car show, even the world's largest apple pie. Now, if you haven't seen this, you got to check it out. It is a cool time. And like I said, there's just all kinds of prizes and giveaways and that's going to be out there. It's going to be October 1st and 2nd out there in Hilton for the... I know, you don't want to think that fall's coming, but it is, folks. Next week, we're back into fall. So, you know, if you haven't thought about it, put it down on your calendar. Hope to see you out there.
Got a computer question? Call the boys now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll free 800-790-0415. Online at soundbites.org. Soundbites continues next on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Hi. Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's Soundbites at 2 minutes after the hour. I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Dave Henry.
And I'm Dennis Worster.
And we'll say hello for Nick as he is in the IRC chat. You can catch him there.
Oh, man, I thought you were going to say ICU. He's not that bad yet, I guess.
Too many TLAs. He makes this look so easy. And he just sits there and does it all. And he's just rattles it off, looking up stuff, and I'm
it's
here
just in his brain.
Well, see, I don't even pay attention to it anymore because I got enough stuff to worry about here on the board.
You got more buttons than all of us combined.
That's true.
And that's the thing. If you folks, if you can, you can see it on the, I think you can see what I got over
here. Everybody wave.
Yeah, I literally have now 4 monitors, 3 keyboards, and 3 mice.
And a partridge and a pair of
and roller skates.
And you know, because we've doing a lot here. I've got the Mac in the center, so I can sit there and see what's going on as far as the weather, some of the announcements that I have to do. And I got Nick up pulled up here, so he can join in on the chat. And I've been passing on what he's been saying. And
right.
Just the other stuff that I got to do day to day for it.
Cool.
And I'd like to put in a plug again. Thank all the folks that did come to the Wine and Jazz event Thursday night. It was fantastic. I got to talk to a few of the folks that listen to my show on Thursday nights. I'm on Thursday nights from 6 to 9. And like I say, a number of you folks stopped by and said hello. And that was really nice. I really appreciated that. It was fun, you know, to... I don't know how much fun it was for you, but, you know, finally, you know, I hear a few of you folks call, and now to put a face to the voice is always unique, and it was just a huge, I mean, huge event. There was so much food, and the band was fantastic, and the giveaways, I mean, some folks wound up going away with some fantastic items from the silent auction. I mean, there was some really, there was an acoustic guitar.
Ooh.
I mean, all kinds of baskets that Laurel Ann just kicked butt and putting together. It was just phenomenal. She does a beautiful job at it. And again, Laurel Ann, we can't thank you enough. You just outdid yourself. And it, like I say, it was a fun evening. And again, thank you for all you folks that came and support this member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Cool. So do we have another caller?
Yes, we do. And we got Jake. Go ahead, Jake.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. Great. Yourself?
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Webster.
Welcome to U.S.
Thank you.
Is life really worth living?
You know, we had to pick on you.
Life is worth paying for out here, I guess.
There you go. So how can we help you, sir?
Well, For a long while, my first wireless router we bought a couple years ago, a while ago actually now, the Buffalo router.
Okay.
And it worked great, and then it locked up, unfortunately, a couple months ago and just kind of died. I don't know what the problem was. So we replaced it with, Linksys, but it's now Cisco.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the $50 model. It's like an ES3000 or something.
Okay.
Could be the 1,000 at $50.
Yeah, it might be. And it just really hasn't been working that great. I think speed isn't as fast as my little Buffalo, and I don't think the range is as good. And I don't understand why, because the Buffalo was an older router, and it was like, you know, 150. That's
probably why the $50 routers are generally just bare bones routers. They don't have much frills. They don't have many features.
It's just enough to work.
Yeah, when you get up into the $100 or $150, the 3000 model you were talking about is close to $200. That's wireless N. It's got simultaneous dual band. It's 450 megabit transmit rate, I think it is.
Right.
And so that has a lot more features than the $50, you know, we'll just get you on Wi-Fi.
Okay. So what router would you guys recommend then?
Well,
like around $100, I would say so.
Well, the Linksys is a good brand. You just need to go to a higher model to get more features and more speed out of it. The couple of key things to look at is the cheaper routers will be G, which is 54 megabit. A little more expensive routers will be N, which is 300 megabit, but N also has much greater range than G does. So you want to get at least an N router. And then you may have to upgrade your computer with an N wireless card, but most of the cards in the last couple 3 years have been N already. And then there's other features that some of the routers have. There's something called dual band. So the standard wireless band is 2.4 gigahertz, and that's one of the junk bands.
There's a lot of stuff on that.
Portable phones run on that. Microwave ovens run on that. So the dual band devices will also run at 5 gigahertz. And a lot of times that helps out with interference in your house. And so you get better range and better signal. And then there's routers that have simultaneous dual band, so they can actually run both frequencies at the same time. And that gives you a private network for your own stuff, and then you can have a second guest network. So when guests come over to your house, you can let them on the internet without giving them your private password. And so that's when you're in the $150 to $200 range, is by adding all of those extra features.
The other thing I wonder about, and you can tell me what your opinion of this is, Steve, is when people set up their router and they set it to be like a BG mixed setting, so that it's trying to do B and G, but I don't think that some of those cheaper routers have dual antennas in them, like the more expensive ones do. I wonder if that really degrades performance as well, especially if you've got older B devices as well as maybe a new laptop or something else.
I think if I remember right from the early days, if you put a B network on your device, everybody drops down to B. But if you have a simultaneous dual band, then you can put, say, your Bs on 2.4 and put your Ns on 5.
It segregates it a bit.
And segregate your network so that that the newer devices can run the faster performance.
But we should also say that B and G are great, especially that you're talking about the range issue. But in terms of getting on the internet and doing file downloads or streaming or anything else, the limiting factor, the smallest, you know, the weakest link in the chain is always going to be what your bandwidth is to the outside world. So even if your router says that it can do, you know, a bazillion megabits, it doesn't matter, because if Time Warner or if Frontier are only giving you, you know, 10 or 12 or 30 megabits to the house, you're not going to saturate what that router's capable of with that internet feed.
Fair point. I do notice, though, like the desktop computer, which is hooked right in, runs a lot quicker than like my laptop.
Yeah, your Ethernet runs at 100 or even 1,000 megabits, so it's significantly faster than wireless. But wireless is more convenient because you don't have to string wires.
Oh no, I know it's always going to be faster, but I mean it really dropped off in performance. I mean, like, you know, and there's other issues. You know, I'll be on Xbox and all of a sudden I'll just get kicked off. You know, it just. Video streaming and like my laptop is like unbearably slow. Like
it may also be you got a bad router and just need to replace that with Linksys. That, you know,
as a warranty
replacement for a bad router.
So okay.
That's a possibility too. But yeah, the cheaper routers generally run slower. They don't have as many features. Some of the higher-end routers also will have a USB port on them, so you can hang a hard drive on it, and then suddenly you have network hard drive space, and you can back up all your computers to that network hard drive. Or you can plug a printer into that router, a regular USB printer, and then be able to print wirelessly without spending extra money for a wireless printer.
So in the $100 or less field, there are, what, three different models from Linksys?
From Linksys, and then Apple has their own router,
Airport Express.
Then Belkin and D-Link. There's a bunch of different router companies. What's interesting is Cisco is sort of the huge name in routers. They power virtually every router on the internet.
Right.
And we really hope that when Cisco bought Linksys, they could bring up the Linksys brand.
Yeah.
In quality.
Well, Linksys was still good though,
Linksys
and it was
still
very
one of the
easy.
Higher brands.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it
they
was easy
okay.
to install. Well, it was a lot better than the Netgear.
Yeah, we've had
Netgear,
a lot of trouble
I
with
wouldn't...
Netgear routers.
All I'd use Netgear as something to prop the door open as I brought in the other equipment.
I've had pretty good luck with Belkin equipment.
Belkin had that issue for a while where they were putting ads in your stream.
Yes.
So they would grab...
I remember that.
Yeah, you click a URL to go to some web page, and Belkin grabs that, and instead of going to where you want to go, they put up an ad for Belkin.
Usually I tell my clients if they're at their house and they're looking, they're budget-minded, we might say.
Yeah.
Go grab Linksys from your favorite big box store, but just don't get the bottom end model. Get the next one up, maybe two up from that, and usually that's sufficient. So that's
my one, okay.
Go ahead.
No, the one question I do have is that if I did go out and spend $150 on a router, could I expect it also to not, like, it seems now with routers, I guess, with all the it's went from, like, you know, when I first bought my router, kind of, you know, like an Xbox, maybe, you know, laptop to now everyone's running all kinds of stuff on it, you know, iPads and, you know, iPod touches and stuff. It seems like, you know, routers are very now, like, you know, another thing disposable in a couple of years. Can you expect the, like, $150, $200 router to actually last, like, more than 3 years?
Well, I've put in, I haven't been putting in as many of the consumer-level routers, but I've been putting in a lot of other routers from SonicWall into my business clients, and those are routers that instead of being $100, $150, are $800. And to be completely honest, the most types of things that they do in those environments are very similar to what you do at your house. Getting a router at $50 is so dirt cheap, and $150 is better. But that's still the way, way low end of what the price range is on these types of devices.
You can check the warranty on the device for
that's a good thing to do
to see if
when
you can get a warranty replacement. But you know, next year there's going to be a better wireless standard, so there's always going to be better standards. But that won't stop your current machines from dying. It's just you won't have the latest and greatest anymore.
Yes. All right, Nick's got a comment here. He says he should use the wireless signal strength on his laptop and walk around the house if there is a place where the signal drops off. Blockage. And there's a download. You can download. He's got a website here. download.zdnet.com/abstract.aspx?doc
What's the name of the app?
ID equals 775 or 772559.
Hey Nick, message us back with the name of the app, and we'll post a link.
So there are strength meters. Your computer may have one built in already, where you can measure the strength of your wireless signal. To just walk around your house, see if there's...
All right, the name of the app is Wireless Signal Strength.
Yeah, Wireless Signal Strength, yeah. And that will tell you how strong your wireless signal is, and you may find that in one spot of your house, say you're directly in line with the refrigerator.
Yep.
And the wireless signals have trouble getting through metal.
Or the cold air return on your furnace or heat duct.
Eye stumbler is another common... wireless signal strength gauge.
Yep, I've got that issue in my house.
Oh, Nick said, wait a minute, Wi-Fi signal strength is the name of the app.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
That's such a generic category. You're going to find hundreds of them.
Wi-Fi yeah, Google signal for strength. That yeah. and see what happens.
Yeah.
So my TiVos over by my TV have Wi-Fi adapters on them so they can get their service updates. And they were having problems, and it turned out that there was just a 3-foot dead spot near my TV. So I had to get a longer USB cable to stick them up in the air so they could talk to my wireless router.
Mm-hmm.
And once I did that, then everything was fine. But until then, I just couldn't tell.
So give
that
a shot and let us know how you make out.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Jake.
Take it easy.
Appreciate all the help, boys. Yeah. Thank you.
And sort of in relation to that, as he mentioned, we've got more and more devices using our Wi-Fi with TVs and Xboxes and game consoles and devices.
And they've all got to share that connection to the outside world. And if one is busy streaming a movie through Netflix, then that's some bandwidth that just isn't available for the rest of your stuff.
All right, we got another caller. We got Judy on the line.
Okay.
Judy, go ahead.
Hi there. I'm checking into my AVG. And it says, you're not fully protected. So I pulled up the screen, and it says all the different things that are in there. Now, there's nobody here in the family safety thing that would do anything. So I think I'm going to skip that. Is that okay?
Wait a minute. No, we need to know a little bit more.
The AVG family safety?
The security components right here. And one of them that's... says activate now is family security.
Yeah, that's a service that blocks adult and pornographic websites so that your kids don't accidentally get into it.
We don't have kids.
So yeah, that's something
then
you could safely
it.
Ignore.
Yeah.
Okay. Next one says this LiveKive. What's that?
What did it say?
Yeah. What is LiveKive?
Live
Kive. Can you spell that?
LiveKive.
Never heard of that.
New to me.
No.
No kidding.
What does Google say?
It says activate now.
That is an
Live
AVG.
Like Archive? Is that what they
Yeah, that's what it is. It's a backup service.
Uh-huh.
Livekive backup.
Is.
Yeah.
So, okay, see, the thing is, I don't want to put so many of these on my
yeah.
computer.
Yeah, start slowing it down.
Well,
yeah.
that's
keep it simple.
Yeah, exactly. That's a commercial service. You get a free trial, but then it's $80 to buy that Livekive program.
Okay,
it gives you a backup on the internet.
The AVG free edition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, part of the free edition is that they give you ads for stuff.
They've got to make money from you
that's
somewhere.
That's what pays for the free.
Right. Mm-hmm.
All right. And the last one, obviously, it says identity protection. And that was says disabled, so I guess
right.
I
yeah.
put
you don't
that
want,
in.
Yeah, you don't need that.
So now, the next overall question is, where does malware fit in there, and what is it, and is it covered in any of these things?
No, malware is totally separate from AVG. AVG is an antivirus program versus spyware and trojans, which are little programs that get in there and try to steal information from you.
Ah.
Oh, say, here's a good example. The big one out there right now, there's some of these script kiddies have gotten out there, and they've written a script that all it does is go out and install a small program, and it steals your email addresses.
Uh-oh.
So it grabs, you know, from everybody that hits that site, all their email addresses.
Okay.
Now they collect them.
Ah.
And you sit there and say, well, why do they want that? Well, they'll turn around to spammers and say, tell you what, I'll give you 500,000 email addresses, say, for $100.
That are verified to be working.
Yeah, and that's how they're making their money. They write a little program that goes around stealing hundreds upon thousands upon millions of email addresses.
You've got my vote now.
And it'll turn around, and then they turn around and resell those to spammers.
Oh, goodness.
So you need an antivirus program and anti-malware program.
Now, where can I go on here on the net for a free malware?
Gee, if you go to soundbites.org and to the Security Tango tab, we have recommendations there for both malware bites and super anti-spyware, which are both free programs.
Yeah, I really like that super anti-spyware. That's caught a lot of things for
clients. Can you spell that for me?
Go to soundbites.org.
Bites with a Y, as Francis
right? would say.
Wait, one person at a time, please.
Yeah. Soundbites, that's
SOUNDBYTES.
Yes, .org.
Then go
and
through.
You're going to see a tab there that says Security Tango.
Okay.
And on the Security Tango, if you click there, it'll take you to that page. And it will show you the various programs that we recommend and how to run them.
Ah.
We even give you the instructions.
Well, you certainly do.
Well, we try to be, you know.
You know, you guys pulled me out of the drink last week.
Oh, we did? How's that?
Yeah, when I was calling saying I'm installing this Kodak printer, and they sent me this little software thing.
I remember that, yeah.
Oh, boy, were you so right. Actually, I went through CNET and picked it up over there.
Yeah.
And everything's working great, so.
Oh, Nick just said you can also just go to securitytango.com.
Oh.
And that'll take you directly there.
Securitytango.com.
Yeah. I was just trying to feed them through our website first.
Yep.
Yeah. That's all right. You're making money off of that, huh? No, I'm just teasing.
No.
Well, no, it helps folks that, you know,
actually, I should go on there more often and see what you all have.
Yeah, oh, well, we've
Please
got a
do.
Lot of our old programs.
Our
I mean,
yeah.
our forums, questions you can ask in there.
Mm-hmm.
It takes you to a link to, you know, other stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, that, you know, you can get a lot of help from.
Great. That's great. So, okay, I'm good to go, and I'm so happy you folks are there for me.
Thank you.
Thanks for your help.
Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.
That's nice.
Another satisfied customer?
Satisfied customer, yep. And she had called last week with her Kodak.
Speaking of routers, Ned, we had another question here. Hold on. Let me just check something here.
Click the button. How much time do we have? Should be getting close.
Yeah, we're let's...
As he's front, there's the music.
There it is. I got to rearrange these mice. Yeah, we're going to take a short break here, folks, but we will be back. And again, if you have a question for us, please pick up the phone and dial 966-5299, 1-800-790-0415, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1, turn your radio down. 2, turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
I just like this, too.
This is, yeah, this song Nick likes, too.
All right, you're back with Soundbites. I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Dennis Worcester.
Get it
and
back.
25 minutes after the hour.
Oh.
We had a little entertainment during that last break, if you were watching the video stream.
One thing I want, we were talking before about routers and all that, and another question that we had from Greg in Rochester.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, my roommate's little Dell can't hook up to the cable or can't hook up to
Wow.
Talk about
ebbity, ebbity, ebbity.
We'll sort this one out. My roommate, little Dell,
okay,
can't hook up to cable to Roadrunner. He has XP. I have Windows 7. I get on by, you ready for this? By, B-U-Y, cable on problem.
Is he asking for money?
I think they
mean
he's getting on to it by cable with no problem.
With an Ethernet.
It sounds like their little, Dell is having issues. Well, the thing of it is if this router isn't wireless.
Well, not necessarily. No, it doesn't have to be wireless. It's by default, the Roadrunner router only allows one computer at a time. You have to get what's called a network router in order to share with multiple computers.
Okay.
Yeah.
And most of the time, you'll end up getting a wireless network router. So, especially on a laptop, you can wander around the house and connect to it anywhere.
Right.
Now, a lot of times, the cable routers and DSL routers you get from your provider already have a network router in them. If they have several Ethernet jacks on the back, then typically they have a network router in them.
I always forget that they offer those these days with the wireless built in.
But you're renting them. You're paying like $5 or $10 a month mm-hmm. extra for the,
oh, yeah.
for the
well,
rental
they'd
of the wireless router.
They'd love to talk you into that to get that extra $5 a month.
Oh, yeah,
right.
Definitely.
So you can buy your own router, and it would be paid off. You know, earlier
take
caller,
a year,
yeah. Or you buy a cheap router. And
well, that's
months.
What I was starting to say.
But,
is,
yeah.
Yeah, they first have to check to see, one,
so
if they're trying to hook up with wireless, and if it is a router hub that is handing out
multiple
IP addresses.
Yeah. So if you're trying to unplug your computer from the single Roadrunner jack, and then he's plugging his computer into it, that won't work.
Right.
You have to restart the cable router to let a different computer use it.
Yep.
So by default, the DSL and Roadrunner routers are one computer at a time.
Yep.
That's true.
So you can add your own network router and
about
get more.
It. You could, yeah, well, you could definitely, you could buy yourself one if you want to expand to multiple stuff. But getting one directly from your ISP, whether that's Time Warner or Frontier, can make sense because then when you call them when something's not working properly, they don't start pointing their fingers at Linksys or whoever.
Yeah.
It's all their stuff, so it becomes all their problem.
They will help you with your network setup because you're running several computers in a network.
Right.
Yep. So, yeah, it takes a. So, yeah, that's basically it. You got to do a little of your homework there, Greg, and check it out. And if you have any other further questions, email us, and we will
try to
respond back to you.
Yeah, and if you do have a network router and his computer still won't connect to it, check your network properties and make sure the DHCP service is turned on. And on Windows, it's something called Obtain IP Address Automatically. And on the Mac, it will say Obtain IP Address via DHCP.
Because Nick's got it set up now. Those questions come directly to me.
Good.
So I can, boom, get them. I don't even have to go to the web page. I can just pull them this morning.
Pull them and
yeah, they were there, and I just print them off, set them on the, set them on to bring into the show and ask away. Well, like we've got another one here.
Okay.
That I'll go to. It's Dave's basic computer configuration is what he's wanting to know. And yeah,
what's the name and city?
Well, this is from George. He's here in Rochester, but he we've got to get that updated. My basic configuration is a little dated.
Might be dated.
It's
2009.
It's Windows 98.
Yeah, Pentium 3 with Windows 98.
16 megs of RAM. Or 64 megs.
Well, Steve,
no, I got to do an update, and I promise I will,
yep.
George.
Yep.
So, yeah, so we have on our link list on our website at soundbites.org, one of the links is Dave's basic computer configuration, which is our suggestions for the minimum you should look at when you're buying a new computer. And as David mentioned, we're a little behind on that. But roughly, yeah. You want at least a 2 gigahertz processor, at
that
least
was,
4 gigs
yeah,
of
that
RAM.
That was on my list to do. Yeah. If some of you folks know, last year, normally I usually always like to update it around Christmas time. And last year, there was a little lot of other stuff going on in my life, and I apologize that I didn't get it updated, but I promise that within the next couple of weeks, because I had already started doing up the dream list, because, you know, I've got the things for a system, and then I was also going to throw in there some of the homework on some of these new tablets.
Sure, yeah.
Because, you know, those are becoming very popular.
Now, when you do that, do you also? I'm Mr. Backup. I love backups. Do you include backup on your list?
Is the Pope Catholic?
good. Happy to hear that.
Yeah, definitely. I will. I promise you, George. I will definitely get that updated. Like I say, I apologize. I didn't do it last year, but it will be ready before Halloween. How's that?
Cool. Well, guys, this is turning out to be a fantastic week for me. Let me recap my week for you.
Okay, go ahead.
So earlier this week, I do a little bit of writing for a guy out of Ithaca. His name's Adam Angst. He's really huge in the Mac industry. And he was having a problem with his older Mac G5. So, Adam, if you're listening, it's good to talk to you this week. He had a machine that wouldn't power up. It would the fans had spinned, but it wouldn't post the beep. And I managed to work through it over Twitter, no less, to figure out what was wrong. It turned out to be the video card. Once we pulled the video card, his machine booted up. He's been using it in what they call the headless configuration. It's got no monitor on it. So that was like Monday or Tuesday. On Wednesday, I had a fantastic meeting with a new business client, which went really well, and I'm hoping will be very fruitful. And let's see, Thursday, I was on a message board chatting about old school hackers and guys from MIT and so forth. And I made a post, and the guy who came in directly after me and replied to my post was none other than John Draper, the Captain Crunch guy who used to hack AT&T's long-distance network by using literally a whistle that came out of the Captain Crunch cereal box.
Oh, yeah.
So that was fantastic. I was a big deal for me because I'm a geek. But and then, you know, getting called in to be here. So it's been a great week for me.
Huh. Tell you what, yeah, we got another caller on the line.
Well, before we get to that, I had something very similar to that in the olden days. When I used to go to Macworld trade show every year.
Right.
I'm sitting in the audience of a panel waiting to get started, and a guy was having trouble getting the computer working up on stage, and so I went up and helped him, and turned out to be the author of the Macintosh Bible.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
That was the only book that I ever knew of that would come with a free update.
Yep.
All right, tell you what, let's go to talk to Dave. Dave, go ahead.
Hi, guys. A question for you. I run Windows Vista on my laptop, and the Windows update automatically is giving me 8 updates to install. I've tried several times, and at the end, it reverts back to the changes saying they weren't accepted. Any troubleshooting, any pointers you can give me on trying to figure out why they're not updating?
Oftentimes, that's because something is blocking the update from running.
Right.
Okay. It runs all the way through, and then in the end, this particular one, there's 8. There's security updates for Windows Vista, most of them.
Can you try and install them individually?
Like part 3, it reverts back to the old changes, saying they couldn't update the computer.
Yeah, one of the things you can try is downloading them manually and installing them one at a time. Try one of them and then see if they'll automatically. And I'm finding some links here at Microsoft. Tried to update but did not install. Did you accept to the Windows licensing terms? Do you have enough free disk space on your computer?
I believe so. It's not giving me any other errors. It's one of the updates where if you just shut down, it'll update automatically. Right. And then when you boot the computer back up, it tries to configure the updates. And then, like I said, at the end, it's telling me couldn't configure and reverts back to previous changes.
Have you run a anti-malware scan lately?
Not lately, no.
You may want to do that because there's a lot of malware that will stop updates from installing because the things updates do is block the malware.
They patch the holes that the malware uses.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, I'll try that.
All right, yeah. What city are you calling from?
Rochester.
Okay.
All right.
We'd like to put that
Thank
on
you very
our
much.
Pushpin map.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Dave.
All righty. So yeah, that's one of the things that updates are good for is fixing holes and blocking malware. Apple had that with their what is it, the 10.6.6 update blocked the Mac Defender fake Trojan program.
Yep, last
Windows,
spring, in
Windows
May,
does that a lot with their updates. They'll block the holes that the bad guys are using. So a lot of times what the bad software does is it prevents you from installing those updates so you can't block them.
Right. And there were some big updates just in the past week or two related to the, and you guys may have talked about this last week, the DNS issues and the security certificates
out
of DigiNotar in, was it Netherlands?
Yeah. There have been a couple of security certificate companies that have been hacked into and their keys are stolen.
And it's these certificates that companies get so that they can encrypt the transactions between you and them. So places like that you would use for online shopping.
Yeah, you go to your bank and your URL turns green. You get that little padlock showing that you're encrypted and secure.
Right.
That bank purchased a security certificate to prove they say they are.
Right.
And so the bad guys have broken into companies that issue these certificates and steal the keys. So now they can issue bad certificates that look real.
So yeah. So what happened was the credentials that were made from this DigiNotar company were hacked and set up, I guess, in Iran. And what ended up happening was DigiNotar lost all their credibility and was removed from the list of trusted companies to handle this. And all of those companies that ended up getting their certificates from DigiNotar are left hanging out in the breeze and have to go recertify from someone else.
Oh, geez.
So it's kind of a mess. But that's kind of how our security system works on the internet.
This was the second company in a couple of months that that had been hit.
So that's
it's rough out there.
So what happens is everybody literally got an update from either Apple or from Microsoft that pulled DigiNotar from that list of trusted companies.
Now, the one thing that I don't think has happened yet is the iOS hasn't had an update to remove that. So on,
you know, I think you're right.
So on your iPhone, iPad, you still may have that bad site in a trusted certificate. I would imagine. I don't know if
iOS 5 probably will.
Right.
Will
I'd almost expect them to push out a small update first. To
yeah,
fix
maybe.
That. I'm not sure if Android pushed an update for that as well. And the big problem with Android
I'm
is
sure Nick will tell
yeah,
us.
I just saw the chat jump.
Yes, Nick just said no. Apple is very. Very is capitalized behind on the
DigiNotar
thing.
Yep, that just came out, I think, on Tuesday or Wednesday
of last week from Apple.
I need to type bigger on this screen.
Go into preferences.
You can do that.
Yeah. The issue with Android is even if Google...
You're talking to a PC guy. What suitcase's preference is it?
No problem.
Jeez Louise.
Steve could help you out.
Yeah. No, I got to do this while I'm thinking of that. Where was
I? You go to iChat.
Security certificates, yeah. So Android may have updated, but if your carrier, so, you know, say if Verizon or AT&T hasn't updated their Android, then you may not be able to.
Oh, right. Because they always put their stuff on top.
Right.
So they wait for the updates and then apply their carrier stuff and then push that out to the phones. Yeah. So it's an interesting thing when something like this happens around the world and then suddenly everybody else has to scramble to keep everybody secure so they don't break that entire model. Because once something like this happens, those updates have to get pushed out from individual companies that make this, whether that's Microsoft or whether that's Google with their Android stuff or whether that's Apple with Mac OS X and iOS. And I think Steve's right. I haven't seen anything come out for iOS yet, but I'd be really surprised if it wasn't out.
Now that's set for
soon.
Old man eyes.
Does that look better?
Yes, I can actually see it.
You can see that from across the room. I should be able to see that from my house. We've got to get time for that second camera.
When I got to get a video switching box, and so right now I can switch between the external camera and the camera on my computer, but you don't want to see a giant picture of my face.
All right.
What I want to find, to put this out to the audience, Nick has a camera on his Linux computer.
Right.
Is there a way for me to see the contents of that camera on my computer?
If he publishes it somehow.
Yeah, but yeah, how and what format?
All right, bumper music now.
Good. That music tells
That's
us
by
that
me.
We're ready for another sponsor break. Give us a call when you get back. See how you can add to the show. Join the call. We got some interesting news coming up, hopefully. The phone numbers in the studio here are 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free at 1-800-790-0415. And we'll be right back. Good afternoon. Welcome back to Soundbites at 44 minutes past the hour. I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worcester.
And Nick is on the chat.
Yes, he is.
And he's in pink. You can change that, too.
No, that's okay.
Why would you want to?
Well, it's a garish pink, so you notice when somebody chats you.
Right.
Yeah, no, it is. No, that works for me.
And while we were
Nick
off...
Nick says hi.
Hello,
Nick says
hi. Hello,
while
hello,
we were off air, Nick says that, yes, Android hasn't updated the security certificates either.
Yeah, so they're all having their issues. But, you know, hey, this stuff is changed so much, you know, and so fast... That, you know, more and more folks now with the smartphones and the droids and the tablets are just going around, and it's just, like I say, skyrocketing really fast. Especially since the iPad came out with the Mac. I mean, look at the Macs. For the most part, you, for a while back, were doing this model and that model and this model. You don't hear Mac coming out with major desktop announcements. If they are, they're there, and they're yeah. The iPads are their big thing, and the other iProducts,
right?
Yeah,
are the big thing, and their PCs. Oh yeah, I think it's still make those too. You want to go to the
aisle
far
30.
Back of the shop, turn right, go down that aisle, turn left, take the elevator up to the fourth floor. You might find some.
Yeah, the last three or four Mac computer updates were all done by a press release, and then the new models just show up on the store.
Yeah, I was thinking about that this week. They used to do at Macworld, they would show you how much faster the new machine is compared to the one that they had out previously.
Yeah.
And they would have what they call a bake-off, where they'd have a guy in Photoshop doing the exact same thing in one machine versus the other, and you'd see how much faster the new one would get it done. And I was thinking, when's the last time we saw a bake-off of any kind? And it's like, never.
Yeah, Nick says here, Apple doesn't even call themselves a computer company anymore.
Apple Inc.,
They dropped the computer. They dropped the six-color logo probably 10 years ago or more now. And it's all about the personal electronics.
Image.
Yes. Performance.
I'm trying to find that graph, but I think...
Well, we do have another caller on the line.
Let's
take Tony. Tony, go ahead, sir.
Where are you calling from, Tony?
Oh, thanks for your show, by the way.
Sure.
You're welcome.
I know there are... programs out there to protect my iMac. Could you give me one or two that you would recommend?
We talk about that on the Security Tango website as well at securitytango.com. There are some free antivirus programs from PC Tools makes one called iAntivirus. I think AVG now has a free Mac version. Intego,
NetBarrier,
however you pronounce
it. Virus Barrier,
yeah. And then there's an anti-malware program called MacScan. Although some people, MacScan is an interesting program because it finds what it calls malware, and it includes real software that you may have installed yourself that. Almost remotely could be considered a spy program. There's one of the favorites is a program called Little Snitch, which is like it's a reporting tool for your Mac that tells you if any program tries to contact the internet.
Right.
And it's kind of what a firewall does. A firewall blocks things from contacting the internet, but Little Snitch tells you what program is doing that. And so MacScan says that Little Snitch is spyware.
MacScan's very, very vigilant.
Yeah, almost too vigilant in some respects. And that's from a company called SecureMac. But we have them listed on the Security Tango website. In general, We don't have as big an issue with malware and viruses on the Mac, and everyone's always quick to point out.
At least not yet.
Not yet. we did have a malware scare earlier this spring with a fake message that popped up on screen and said you were infected with a virus and then tried to steal your money to buy a fake antivirus program. That's an issue that the PC world has been dealing with for years.
Yeah. So they're just saying, welcome to the club, guys.
Yeah. Brand new for us.
Now you're too.
And Apple addressed that with a system update to stop that program from happening.
Right.
There's some nice free antivirus programs, and it will also catch Windows viruses for you. So if you get documents in email or on a flash drive, it will catch it if it has a Windows virus in, so you don't accidentally spread that as well.
What about the ClamX AV?
Yeah, ClamX is a free antivirus program. Comes from the Clam community, which is a big Unix antivirus program.
So those are all good choices.
C-L-A-M.
Yep.
Yeah, Clam, then the letter X, then AV as in antivirus.
So if you go to the securitytango.com page and then click on Let's Dance, you can do the Windows Waltz, the Linux Lambada, the Android Allemande, or the Mac Garena, and it lists the programs there for each of the different operating systems.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Thanks, Tony.
So yeah, it is practicing good netiquette to keep your computer spam and virus and malware free, so you don't accidentally pass it on to anyone.
Nick
you
says
talk
it's
to.
At clamxav.com.
Sounds about right. Yeah, it's like washing your hands before you go and shake hands with people at a party or what have you. You just want to keep yourself covered and.
Yep. MythBusters did the greatest test of. Basically, just a cold. They hooked people up to a fluorescing tube on their nose that would drip, couple 3 minutes, like your nose is running, and then had a little party, a dinner party, and passing silverware and passing whatnot,
and then
filmed it all, and then under blacklight they could see everyone was covered with this fluorescent dye,
right.
Even the people that thought they were being safe, Carrie's got a germ phobe, she said. So she's always very very careful about touching things that other people touched. And if someone hands you a bowl, pick it up with your napkin. but then you touch the napkin to your mouth.
Yeah.
New
moms are like that.
Yep. So it was really interesting how fast. And it was 20, 25 minutes they ran this experiment, and everybody was covered. The table was covered. They did a poker party.
You don't
want to
know.
And, yeah.
Right.
So that's we have to build up our immune system so we can handle all that.
Yeah, sometimes ignorance is bliss.
Yeah. But that's why you love MythBusters, because that was disgusting.
Yeah, well, it's just like they disproved talking on the cell phone while pumping gas.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, they did that real early.
Yeah, I mean, that's totally...
What was really interesting, though, is the positive result they had, because there have been documented cases of people pumping gas and a spark causes the gas fumes to explode. And what they found is it was mostly women who wear pantyhose.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, women tend to get in and out of the car while they're pumping the gas, where men just stand there and pump. And so the act of getting in and out of your car and walking with the pantyhose on generates static. And then you go over and touch the metal gas pump, and it causes a static charge. So keep yourself touching your metal car, and then you're grounded to the car, so you won't cause a static charge.
Come home. Honey, yep. I done blowed it up.
Yep. What was the other one that was good? The match in the toilet.
Yeah.
They couldn't get they had a room filled with gasoline vapor, and the cell phone wouldn't light the gasoline, or a smoker who throws the match into the toilet would not explode. They finally used black powder and got it to explode.
Or the way they show how somebody can throw a cigarette out.
Yep.
And it hits the ground, you know, and also...
Oh, like the movies?
Yeah, the movies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was
the
a cool one, yeah.
The flames travel down.
The flames do travel down the trail of gasoline, but only at about 5 miles an hour, so you can easily outrun it. and the same thing with a trail of black powder, like in the old cartoons, where the powder keg opens up.
Yeah,
you can
easily...
He's
got up on his shoulder, but there's a hole falling out the back, so he's dropping a trail of black powder
You can easily
him.
Outrun the black powder and then kick it... the loose powder enough to stop the signal from going.
Yeah, like your Yosemite Sam or something.
And sort of on that lines, there was an episode of Top Shot a couple of seasons ago, which is a reality show on, I think, History Channel, for marksmen and shooters.
Mm-hmm.
One of their challenges was a lit fuse heading toward a charge. They had to shoot the fuse and break the fuse before it hit the charge in order to win the contest.
Interesting.
And fuses are really, really tiny anyway.
Right. No, yeah, they usually are.
Yep. All right. So we got about a minute left.
Yeah. Steve, what have you been working on this week?
Oh, just too many things.
Well, the thing that we've been still seeing a lot, though, is these root kits.
Yeah, sure.
And a lot of folks are, you know, getting frustrated. Well, what do you mean I got to take the computer? And I know I've told this story over and over again. But, you know, unless you're having something really good for dinner, I'm not staying.
Yep.
Sorry. I like my own little bed, not sleeping on your couch, watching reruns of this and that program.
She's the sheriff, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's just one of those things that we have to bring back to the shop, pull the hard drive out of the machine to isolate it to get the initial stuff off, and then put it back on. And then I get somebody call me, we only had it back for an hour or so. So is it done yet? We're just doing the initial test. How long is it going to take? Well, see, right next to that, your computer that's not working is my crystal ball, and we've got that out for maintenance too, and it's not telling me. So once we get both of those back up and running, we'll let you know.
Days. Could be several days. But we understand this is your baby. You need to have your computer.
Yeah.
But if it's broken, you know, we need the time to fix it.
Yep, that's the way it is, folks. Hey, Dennis, I'd like to thank you again, sir, for stepping in here.
Well, no problem.
Yeah, it's
without.
Short notice, too.
Yes,
thank you.
And we really appreciate that. Thank you very much. And again, as Nick would say, you've wasted another whole Saturday afternoon. But you know what? We're glad that you're here. And also remind you that, you know, coming the beginning of October, we're going to be starting our fundraisers. So, you know, get ready because we need your support to bring this great program that you've been listening to for the past 2 hours each week. You know, we bring those computer questions and answers to you. So, you know, again, we'll be here next Saturday. So thank you again for spending this Saturday. For Nick Francesco, who is hopefully under the weather but feeling better next week, I'm Dave Enright. See you next week.
Here are the club calendar.